dad, Mike Wilson, on the topic of teamwork and evangelism. And there's a lot of great things that we want to implement here. But we have to lay some groundwork first. And so over the next couple weeks, we'll continue laying that groundwork. We've got some started already. And then what we're going to do is kind of transition this time into going over the studies that we'll be going over with the prospects and with the at-home Bible studies and talking about how we can get involved with some of those things. And so in a couple weeks to about a month, month and a half, we're going to kind of start getting together our at-home Bible studies. But I just want you to know the things we're doing here in the last couple weeks and the next couple weeks are vitally important to what's going on. I just at Santa Clara this morning, I was talking with somebody, Mike Eubank. Some of you might know the Eubanks over there. And he asked me, he said, how's it going after Mike's meeting? How's the evangelism going? I said, listen, it's going great. Not because we've started evangelizing yet, but because we're laying all the groundwork. And he told me, he said, you know what? He goes, a lot of people want to jump right into to teaching and baptizing as many people as they can. He says, but that doesn't work. He says, what works is laying the groundwork, and once you get the people involved, once you get these groups started that we're getting started, I talked to some guys last week to kind of head up the group so I don't have to be in charge of every single one. And next week, what we're actually going to do in this time period is break off into those three groups. And some of you have signed up for more than one, that's okay, but we want to break off into those three groups and start discussing some of the things that we can implement during the week and when we can meet together so that we can start praying for the congregation, start praying for the prospects that we have. You know, we get visitors' cards, we'll pass those along. And so next week we're going to be breaking off and actually starting to meet in those groups. And that's going to be the only time we'll use this time for that. And after that it's going to be, you know, after services or maybe one night of the week, get together. And we'll go over more of that next week. But I thought it was interesting that he said, if those groups fail, nothing else will snowball into, you know, the baptism and new converts. Because it's those groups that need to be praying. It's those groups that need to be focusing on the prospects. It's those groups that need to be invested. Because, again, to use the example, let's say VR and I do all the work to get Al baptized over here, and we had announced to you, well, Al's been baptized, but none of you know Al, and none of you have had a part in helping with Al. You guys are going to say, well, who's Al? And I don't care, you know, because VR and I have been the ones doing all the work. But if we say, hey, Al's been baptized, and you said, well, listen, I've been praying for Al in our prayer group. Good job, Al. You know, you have a connection now. Hey, we've been talking about Al in our family focus group, and I took Al out to lunch to make sure he was doing okay. And at that time, what you start seeing is I was invested in saving Al's soul. And so if these groups don't work and we're not putting our effort into these groups to focus on the people, again, not only seeking and saving the lost outside here, but also this family here at East Foothill, you know, then nothing else will work. And so I just wanted to assure you of that. We're going to talk about some things tonight to kind of help motivate us, keep us motivated, and keep us going on the right track, because I see good things happening. People are excited. People are excited for these groups. I have people coming up to me, talking to me, saying, I invited so-and-so, and I tried to talk to so-and-so, and how do I do this for so-and-so? And so we're thinking in those terms, which is great. And just keep up the good work, and eventually what we're going to start seeing is progress. And we're going to start seeing more people come, more people stick, more people being taught, and eventually more people being saved, because that's our goal. And so keep with it. Stay with us, and we'll get there. I was talking to Mike a couple weeks ago, and he said he wanted to check in and see how everything was going. And he said, don't expect much progress within the first year. I said, a year? He says, if you lay the groundwork properly and you take your time doing so, this is not something that will fizzle out over the next year, year and a half. This is something that will be a lifetime goal, a lifetime accomplishment. Of being focused on seeking and saving the lost. And that's our goal. We want this to be a lifetime thing. And so if this seems slow, if it seems like, what are we doing here? When are we going to start these at-home studies? When are we going to start baptizing people? stay with it, because we're getting there. And of course, if you're in the process and you have a friend that wants to study, Lalo just said he sat down with Carmel's friend and they were studying together, or talked a little bit. That's great. But for the purpose of the teamwork thing, we're going to get those started here soon. But we got to lay the groundwork. The groundwork first. And so if you haven't signed up for a group, come talk to me after services. We'll get you signed up again, and we'll go through that. But most of you already know where you're placed, and we'll get those started next week. So tonight I want to talk about three very brief things that I think, and I've actually told Brooke, I said, if I'm ever going to write a book, this is going to be one of the first things I write a book on. Because... To me, I think there are three things. A lot of people want to know how to evangelize. What do we need in evangelism? What are the tactics that work? Things like that. And I really think evangelism boils down to three separate things. And when you can get these three things implemented into your life and into your spiritual life and your spiritual drive, it's not going to matter what program you use. You know, there's lots of different evangelism programs out there. Teamwork and evangelism is one of them, and it's really not a program, like Mike said, but more of like a lifestyle, more of a culture to be all working together. But there's a program out there right now, Big Picture of the Bible, some of you may have heard of, written by a brother in the Church of Christ. And there's a lot of different personal evangelism programs, the film strips, and there's a lot of different things that people love to use. And one is not better than the other. They're all good. They all have the same purpose of seeking and saving the lost, and so what we need to understand is, I think any of those can be successful when you implement these three things, and I call them the three M's of evangelism. The first one is motivation. If we are not motivated, if someone is not motivated to do something, how well do you think it's going to work out? The artist said it's not going to happen. He's exactly right. How many of you have ever tried a diet? How many of you have had the diet actually work for the long term, maybe still working years later? I don't see anyone's hand. Why do you think that is? Charles says it's hard to stop eating, so that's true. Here's what most people do. Most people will do something like this. They'll start extremely motivated. And they'll say, I'm excited to lose the weight. I'm excited for this diet. This is the best diet that I've ever heard of. This is the best program I've ever heard of. And I'm going to lose the weight, right? And they go a week. They go 2 weeks. You know, maybe let's give them a month. And they're on fire. Maybe they lose a couple pounds. And they say, see, this is working. And then... catches up, and it's hard to eat healthy all the time. Rick and I were at the store the other day. We're trying to eat healthier. The two of us are, and she says, the sad thing is it's too expensive to eat healthy. It's true. And so life catches up with you. You realize, man, this is too expensive. You realize, this takes too much time to prep all the healthy stuff when I can just open a bag and I can dip my hand right in and pull it out, right? And so what you start seeing is the motivation that was there at the beginning is no longer there in the middle. And eventually what's going to happen is the motivation is going to be thrown out the window and the diet is ruined and the weight that you might have lost is now put back on and you're back at square one. And then you try another diet 2 years later and then another diet when that one doesn't work and another diet when that one doesn't work. That's why everyone's always coming out with the latest and greatest diets. Personal evangelism is a lot like that. Where this is the latest and greatest evangelism tactic ever. So let's get started with this. And then you realize that the motivation dies out. Well, that didn't work, so let's try this one. And if that doesn't work, we'll try this one. And if that doesn't work, we'll try this one. And you wear yourself out trying to think of all these different ways that we can evangelize instead of staying completely motivated with our goals of seeking and saving the lost. And so there needs to be motivation. And in order to have motivation, there needs to be goals. I remember playing football in high school, and us our goal. We want to win. In high school, you play for the CIF championship. There's different divisions in California. You play for the CIF championship. We wanted to win the CIF championship. That's our goal, right? Well, does that happen overnight? Can we just go out onto the field in one day and say, we're going to reach our goal today. We're going to win the CIF championship. No. So what did we have to do in order to reach this goal? We have to set smaller goals. We have to set more attainable goals. Because every team at the beginning of the year, baseball season just started. I'm a big baseball fan. You guys know that. Every team at the beginning of the year is 0-0. We need to set small goals to work up, to continue working up, so that when we reach the goal we've set of, let's win our first game. As an example, let's win our first game. Here's our goal of winning the championship, but let's get to the first game, let's win that one first. When you win that one, you feel accomplished. You feel like, hey, we're one step closer to the goal, right? And instead of saying, here's our goal, well, now we've lost, okay, it's all over. And so the question I want to ask tonight is, in terms of evangelism, what's our goal? Okay, to seek and save the lost. We've established that. That's our goal. We want people to be baptized. But what we've been looking at over the past few weeks is it takes a little bit more than just baptizing them, right? And so what's our sub-goals? If we want to call them that. One, prepare ourselves, which is exactly what we're doing in this setting right here, which is exactly why we wanted to do this. If we don't prepare ourselves, and we go into a Bible study, or we go into someone's house to talk to them about the Bible, or you know, anything, and we don't know the answers, or we don't know how to handle a certain situation, or we don't know, fill in the blank, what's going to happen to your motivation when you're not prepared and you come across a situation that's not too great, you don't know how to handle it? That motivation is going to be like that diet where it's going to start slowly creeping back down, because where you were once motivated, well, now you just, you didn't reach your little goal, and so we need to, you know, your motivation is going to suffer. So what we need to do, and this is more of a personal thing, because I can't decide for you what your process is going to be in the big picture of seeking and saving the lost. Because some of you are teachers. Some of you can sit down with somebody one-on-one and start teaching someone. Some of you can't. And so if I set a personal goal for me to say, I want to study more of the Bible so that I can be able to teach other people, that might not apply to some of you, right? Because some of you aren't going to go out and teach. That's just not who you are, and that's okay. But the point is, there's something we all can do. And what you need to do, and what I want you to do tonight, is I want you to go home, maybe talk with your spouse, talk with someone you live with, whoever, and I want you to really think about, hey, what are some goals, some realistic goals that we can accomplish in trying to be more evangelistic in our efforts? How can we stay motivated in what we're doing? And what are some goals? Because once you start reaching those small goals, those easily attainable goals, what you're going to start seeing is, we can do this. We can do this. And once you start telling yourself, we can do this, guess what's happening? Your motivation is going to keep going up and up and up and up and up. And then you're going to just stay motivated. And so we're going to come back to this part, because motivation, I think, is the key point where most people in most churches fail. They never get past this first point, motivation. Or they get past it, and then it disappears. And so we're going to come up to this, and we're going to harp on this over and over and over again, because we need to stay motivated. We're motivated now, and it's great, but are we going to be motivated 6 months from now? Are we going to be motivated a year from now? And so set your goals. And in some sermons I'm planning on doing here in the next couple weeks, couple months, we're going to talk about some of these things on more of the church level, what our goals should be on a church level, and what we see in the Bible, what our goals should be. But think about your personal goals and make them things that you can obtain. very quickly. You know, this is something that we see in the Bible. What do you think motivated Jesus?
Love.
For what? Okay.
Greater love has no man than this. Than what?
Lay down his life for a friend. Right? Jesus was motivated. What was that?
I don't think I can see you laying down your life for Charles right there. That's for sure. I don't know.
The motivation Jesus had, VR just said something. He even did it for his enemies. He did it for people that were going to blaspheme his name. He was so motivated about the cause that he believed in that he did something about it. And that's the second step. You have motivation. The next thing is movement. You have to get moving in what you're doing. Jesus did that. I said it this morning in the sermon. Carol heard me, and I'll say it again, and I've said it before. Jesus has never asked us to do anything he wasn't willing to do himself. Jesus was motivated about what he's doing. Love motivated him. And then he did something about it. He went out teaching. He went out preaching. He went out healing the sick. He had compassion on other people. And then he eventually died on the cross. He got moving. And so we need to learn how to take our motivation into movement. Because again, let's use that diet example. How many of you, and by the giggles and the hand raising earlier, I'll say many of us have been motivated to go on a diet, right? You wake up one morning and say, you know what? Maybe today's the day. Today's the day I'm going to start that diet I've been thinking about doing. Or you know, I've been thinking about this for weeks now. Years now. Or maybe let's get away from the diet. How many of you have a nudging of the husbands. How many of you had something around the house that needs to get done? And it stays undone. And husbands, you keep telling yourselves, I'm gonna get to that. I'm gonna get to that. You might be motivated because it might be the wife nudging you to get motivated. But motivation is different from movement. You need the motivation first, and once you're motivated, you need to translate those feelings into action. That's exactly what we saw Jesus do when he put himself on the cross. That he was motivated enough to where he was going to put his money where his mouth was, and he was going to put himself on the cross and die for the forgiveness of our sins. And so what we understand is there needs to be a plan. How are you going to achieve your goals? We've set the goals. We've set the main goals. We've set the lower goals, and now, how are we going to reach those goals? And let's just say, there's going to be some goals we won't meet. There's going to be some goals that we fail at. There's going to be some goals that are going to be harder to obtain than others. And we're going to hit roadblocks. We're going to hit parts where we stumble, parts where our motivation will waver a bit. But when we have a plan set in place, then you can reach those goals a whole lot easier than, you know, going in, improvising it, on the spur of the moment. How successful do you think it would be if I take Charles to a study and I say, Charles, I have this guy I want to study with. Would you come accompany me? And he says, great, what are we studying? And I said, well, I don't know. We'll just wait until we get there. I mean, are we motivated to go study? Yes, great. But if I don't have a plan to put into action when we get there, what good are we really going to do? And so something I really respect about you and the church here is that I think we're motivated enough, and what we're doing now and what the elders wanted to do was start putting our motivation into action. I think that's where we are right now. We're starting to put this motivation into action by forming these groups and by getting together on a regular basis, at least on Sunday nights, hopefully more in the coming weeks and months, to really get moving on what we're talking about, because we don't want to be just lip service. We want to put what we're doing into action. And again, that's exactly what we see Jesus doing. The third thing we're going to need, that once motivation starts going and you actually start moving, what you're really going to start seeing, and this is going to come later, you're going to start seeing the third M, which is momentum. you need encouragement along the way. And I think one of the biggest encouragements there is when it comes to evangelism is that you can see the works that are being done. You can see the fruit of your labor. And that's going to translate into momentum. That's going to translate into the idea of what we're doing is working. And so let's keep going. How can we get more involved? A few of you have talked to me about, you know, I wish more people would come on Sunday nights and really start participating in what we're trying to do here. And really, I wish everyone who was here this morning would come back on Sunday nights and participate in what we're trying to do here. But what we're going to start seeing, and what Mike was talking about, if you remember in some of his lessons, was it starts with a small group. How many? We had 41. Let's just take that number. I don't know how many are here tonight. If those 41 who were here last week, that's who it starts with. And they're the ones that are motivated. And they're the ones that are moving. And they're the ones that are constantly trying to think about how can I speak to somebody? How can I approach them about speaking to them about the gospel? How can, you know, and those are the 41 people that are going to try their hardest to be evangelistic. What you're going to start seeing is when the results start coming and people start saying, hey, they baptized another. Man, we've had a lot of visitors here lately. What are these people doing to get this many people here? What you're going to start seeing is you're going to start seeing that number 41 creep up a little bit. And it's going to keep creeping up because we might have one person say, listen, what are you guys doing? And I want to be a part of it. This is exciting. I love seeing full pews. I love seeing this many people here. What are you guys doing? Well, come on Sunday night and find out. Okay, I will. And then, you see, once the momentum starts, it's almost like the snowball effect, where it starts off as a small ball, you roll it down a hill, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so I really think those are the three M's of evangelism. Motivation, movement, and momentum. The question I want to ask us tonight as we kind of close out this evening, I think we're motivated, but how can we start today? How could you start today? Let's start brainstorming some things on a more of a personal level. How can you start today putting the motivation into movement? And don't think so much on a congregational level, because we're getting there with these studies and eventually the at-home Bible studies. But what do you think you can do as an individual to start putting your motivation into movement? And start putting your thoughts and your feelings about how you feel about this into action. What do you think we can start doing? I'm sorry? Okay, praying. Again, we've talked about that almost every week. The role of prayer in evangelism is one of the most powerful tools we will ever use. If we are praying, and we are praying together, and we are praying individually, who knows what will happen for this congregation? Now, I don't want to show of hands, so keep your hands down. But how many of you, and I'll admit I'm at fault as well, how many of you will leave tonight, have left the Sunday night service, and went home and prayed for the evangelistic works of this congregation and for the people that were here visiting today? And I mean, fill in the blank. You know, but how many of us have actually gone home and sat down and prayed about these kinds of things? My guess is very few. And I understand that we might have some pressing issues on our, you know, weighing on our hearts that we would like to pray about first and all that stuff, and we forget, and I understand that. So maybe that's one of your small goals. Say, you know what? One of the goals that I need to start trying to achieve is praying more about this topic. Instead of asking God for things about me, I need to go ask God about things for other people and things for the prospects that we have. What else? Yeah. Fasting was more of an Old Testament thing. A lot of people did it in the New Testament. It's never a commandment, so it's not something we have to do. I've known plenty of Christians that have fasted before. Some people said they didn't get anything from it because They were just too hungry. And that's okay. But I really had a friend that in college that he would set up a semi-normal fasting time. And I asked him, I said, why do you fast? It's not a commandment. It's not something we have to do. He says, you know what? He goes, it's those times where I'm feeling a little hungry, where I really realize the blessings God has given me. And so fasting today, again, not required, but some people use it as just a way to really feel closer to God. Again, Jesus went out and fasted in the wilderness, many to say because he was feeling closer to God. He was, he's hungry, he's needing, and he was relying on God and not himself. And so if you're going to fast and pray, it works for some people. Doesn't work for other people, but a lot of people say they do feel closer to God once they're fasting, so it's just an interesting thing. To be honest with you, never tried it. So, knowing me, I'd last till about noon, and then that subway down the road will be calling my name. I don't know. Follow. Okay, yeah. Right. So maybe not so much a long-term fast, but a short-term. It's a personal thing. Yeah, it's a personal. Some people do it, some people don't. It works for some people, doesn't work for others. Right. Right. A lot of ancient cultures, and still some modern that hold on to the ancient traditions, will still fast when they pray. Because, kind of what VR was just saying. Focusing, meditation, those kinds of things, it just kind of helps your body do that. So. Right. He does say that in the Sermon on the Mount, to not let it be seen by men. You do it for your own personal personal thing. So if that's one of your personal things to fast and to pray, maybe it's very effective for you, and maybe it is for some people. Byron. Oh, John. Fasting from certain worldly ways. In regards to just withholding yourself from different sins? Right. So you're just saying withdraw yourself from the worldly. Yeah. Right. No, I think it applies to, if you're withdrawing yourself from food while fasting, you can withdraw yourself from worldly things. So that's right. Right. A Christian can obviously do it focused on God and thinking, bringing himself closer to the teacher. Right. And yes, it will separate you at that time from anything else going on around you. Sure.
Right. Any more questions or comments on that? Debbie? Right. And again, it's that thing where when you're fasting from food, a lot of people use it as a time to get close in their relationship with God.
And that's kind of where it started, was to get that closer relationship to real. And then we really see it coming to play in the New Testament, you know, and we see the meaning kind of behind it was Jesus had to sacrifice. You sacrifice food, and people would use that time to meditate and to, you know, more devotion and everything to get closer to that relationship. Well, Jesus, you know, we understand that sacrifice got him closer with God, obviously. Death and then resurrection. So, okay, but in regards to evangelism, when we're talking about praying and those kinds of things, again, maybe fasting would work for you, you know, but prayer is going to be one of your most important tools that we want to use in every stage of evangelism. And the prayer group, we'll talk about that more as we meet next week and in the weeks to come. I did want to read this, and I forgot to mention it earlier, and I love this illustration. Talking about motivation, it says, motivation is like steam. Properly channeled, it can move large objects, like a steam-powered train. But without it, the train remains motionless. And there's one key point to that saying that I want to look at before our time's up. Motivation is like steam. Properly channeled, it can move a large object like a train. How many of you have ever boiled water before and you start seeing the steam come up out of the pot of boiled water? Is that enough steam to move a train? No. Okay. That's because the pot, you know, when the steam comes up, it just kind of goes into the air and kind of goes everywhere. And it's just kind of everything's going their own opposite, different direction. But when you can focus the steam, and that's exactly how engines really got started. Before there was fuel, it was steam. Steamboats, steam engines. My grandfather was a huge steam engine enthusiast. And he would actually build his own steam engines and take them to these shows around Southern California, which was really cool. So I got to see some of these work. And it was just amazing that when you channel the steam, you can run an engine. I mean, you can make things go. That's it was just, it was amazing. And it's because what was once all scattered is now concentrated into one direct purpose. Does anyone remember the term Mike used with the light bulb and the laser beam, what that's called? Synergy. A laser beam has as many photons as a 60-watt light bulb. But in the 60-watt light bulb, they're a little bit more scattered. But all brought together, they create a laser beam that's more powerful than a light bulb. When we're working together as a church, if I'm going off on my separate direction, VR is going off on his separate direction, Lalo's going off on his separate direction, I mean, and we're all just kind of doing our own thing, how much can we really get done? And we might get a little done, but when we're all dedicated to the same purpose, when we're all dedicated to, and we're all motivated to do the same thing, to reach the same goals, we're going to start seeing results. We're going to start seeing things happen. That engine is going to start slowly moving. And when that engine starts slowly moving, you know that story of the little train, I think I can. He's moving, but he's just going really slow. I think I can. But boy, when he got up and over that hill, he started going down the other side. What happened? I know I can. He started picking up speed, and he started going, right? The same thing can be true of our church here. We're in that mindset. We're in that attitude. I think we can. We're getting motivated. We're getting moving a little bit. We're getting some things started. We're going to hit a point here where we're going to start seeing things happen. We're going to say, I know we can. We're going to start going down the other side of the hill, and things are going to really be moving. And so what I want us to do tonight is go home and start thinking about your goals, your personal goals. What can I do to help this church? What can I do to start implementing this week? Can I start making phone calls? Some of you love to make phone calls. Some of you don't. Some of you love to write cards. Some of you don't. Some of you love to cook meals for other people. Some of you don't. We all have our strengths and weaknesses. There's some areas that I'm really, really bad at, and I'll admit that.
But there's other of you that where I'm weak, you guys are strong. And that goes for everybody here. And so what can you do in regards to personal evangelism, in regards to spreading the gospel, in regards to focusing on the family members that are here at this congregation that might need help? What can you do to start getting motivated and to start turning that motivation into movement? Set your own personal goals. And like I talked about, in the coming weeks, we're going to look at some church things that we can do as a church all together, and hopefully we can start moving forward. And I think we are. I see some good things happening. I hear, you know, people come up to me and saying, I'm excited about this and about that and about this, and, you know, fill in the blank. And that's great. And so we're getting there. But keep going, okay? Okay, next week, we're going to look at our groups. And I really think that's when we're going to start seeing some movement happening. And so use those goals. Get those goals ready. Bring them into your groups to talk about next week. So that you could start sharing with the people in your group. Listen, I'm in the prayer group. Here's some goals I set for myself. How can we reach some of these goals? How can I help you reach your goals? How can you help me reach my goals? How can we start praying more together? Family focus group. You're going to come together, and I want you guys to say, here's the goals I've set on how I can focus more on the people in this congregation. I set the goal of calling one person a week. I've set the goal of going through the directory and saying, this is going to be the family I'm going to focus on for 1 week, and I want to cook them a meal. Whatever it is, there's lots of different things. And for the follow-up group, I want you to sit down and think about who are some people that have come forward lately, been baptized lately. What are some things we can do for them? What are some short-term goals that where I can get involved to help these people? And the next step is going to be moving, to actually put those goals into movement. And we'll talk about that next week. Any last-minute questions or comments about the three M's of evangelism? Okay, so this week, I saw two. We'll get Randy, and then we'll get Lala. Okay.